Today's lesson I thought was interesting, just kind of makes you think about things. Do you ever have consequences in your life?
Yes. Yeah.
Whether you did anything or not?
Is that your memory? Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe. Your conscience bothers you. But do we sometimes rely upon that I'm a Christian, I live my life the way God would want me to live it. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I don't ever have a bad thought. I don't ever commit any sin. So why should I suffer?
I know. I can't put it in that. But then don't you think that would be sin, thinking that you're already perfect anyway? I think it would be that I'm better than you. I'm not like you. I'm like the in there. I'm with the widow, and she gave, and he wasn't like her. He could, you know.
Like the poor man that went and beat on his chest and confessed his sins, and the other one, Pharisee, says, I'm glad I'm not like that one over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a sin in itself.
Okay. But we'll see. I mean, I don't say that Abraham felt that way. I know Abraham was obedient and God recognized that. But this, the scenario with Abraham, the covenant, do you ever think Abraham felt like, just because I've got this covenant with you, Lord, that nothing's ever going to be bad? I'm not going to have to make any decisions, or my family's not going to be involved.
Well, that's just like, you know, back up what you said, the way we think. We're Christians, so why should we have to deal with anything that's not good? Why should we deal with sickness or divorce or job loss? Why should that happen to us? That should happen to those other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that way with the covenant.
But I think, I don't believe that Abraham was the type man to feel like that. He was so close to God.
He was. And I mean, it's interesting how we'll get into it about how to, in the lesson today, it's not he's questioning God, but
about the baby.
Maybe a little. Well, you know, we go back to the baby, and then it's not in the lesson today, but it talks about leading up in the scriptures how God does speak to Abraham and tell him when Sarah is going to conceive and have a child, and she's in the tent, and she laughs. She thinks nobody heard her, but God did. And then when she was asked that question, she said, no, I didn't laugh. Now, I don't think that had anything to do with the story today, because the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah were just in a rebellious state. Horrible. And reading this is, do you think, I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah were bad, and the story is telling us today that three men appeared to Abraham. One was God and two were angels. But I almost take it that Abraham really, God didn't present himself in a true picture. He was in a metaphorical state, like, you don't really know it's me, but I'm present with you. But Abraham, I think, in his own understanding, he knew that was God. Because it tells us in a part here that once he had made that announcement about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, and the two other men left, the two angels left to go, it says Abraham got closer to God. Now, did he come closer just to visually know and understand that, yeah, you are God? But we know that from the beginning, the Garden of Eden, until now, God has always told us, and we know the verb or the saying is, the wages of sin is death. But do we sometimes think that, like I said earlier, that we shouldn't suffer because of other people's actions?
I think we hold grudges about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you look at from small things to big things, like a car accident, and you were driving a car, but it was my child, and I lost the child. Will I ever get over, will I ever forgive you for taking my child or my parent, or, you know? But it's hard sometimes to forgive.
But you have to.
Yes. You have to, you do have to let it go, but it's hard sometimes.
That's the reason people ask why do bad things happen to good people.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, the lesson is not hard to put together, but Abraham, once he found out God's plan to destroy those two cities, was he wrong in asking God, well, God, what if you get there, your men get there, and you, and the scripture starts out saying, what if you find 50 righteous people there? Are you still going to destroy the whole, everybody? Because in the scriptures, he says, what if there are 50? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, is Abraham questioning God?
Doesn't that kind of go back to Noah? I mean, everybody had to go. And you know, I mean, Noah's family went on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
To
do it.
So they had time to,
yeah.
And they sat and laughed at him, mm-hmm. and did not offer to help him. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and then, but were there a few, but they, you know, they, a few, but they still got left out. So it's kind of like on this, the 50.
Because even Abraham's mind, and you think about the world today, not everybody is bad. But in Abraham's mind, is he thinking, well, because he has a purpose, not, I know that not everybody there is bad because my son's there, Lot. He's not bad. His family is not bad. So why are you going to destroy the whole town? And as the scripture goes, it's not like he was bargaining with God, but he goes from 50 to 40 and just keeps asking God. And it stopped at 10, but I was wondering if he was just going to continue if he found one person. Because I'm trying to bring in today's world today that we live in, do you ever feel like you or I or us as Christians are being punished because of the actions of others? Are things forced on us that we know maybe are not right, but the decisions were made by higher government officials to appease a group of people?
That's happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But one thing we can take from Abraham and put in our lives is, how many times do we, come on in, Gary, have we ever stopped and not say prayed for ourselves, but prayed for a situation and become an intercessory partner with God to work on a situation that's happening? And through that, maybe that situation is resolved. Does it help you grow spiritually? A little stronger walk with the Lord when that happens? But to ask, you know, when you ask him that, you know, when it goes back to, you're the judge of all the earth. Now, did Abraham have the right to question him that way and ask that? Are we supposed to question God when things...
I think we do that in our prayers. Why, you know, why does good things, bad things happen to good people? I think that's a human nature. We just, because we're inquisitive, we want to know. I mean, there's just things, the scriptures don't answer all the questions that we have, and we know that. So when we do get there, our answer, we can find the answers. We've talked, you know, there are just so many things you would, little things that you would like to know. So, and when you do pray, I mean, I do, I mean, you do ask why. And that's where it comes in sometimes to play that why. I do pray, and I pray this way and this, but this thing, other people maybe don't pray, you don't know that, but you know, they don't pray, they're not Christians, but yet still, they're not dealing with the things in their life that I am. Why?
Somebody told me they were sick, mm-hmm. that it was all right to question God because God expected it.
Well, we see in like in the stories in the Bible, like Abraham, I mean, they're asking him questions, so mm-hmm. that would make it different for us to ask the questions. Of course, Abraham was getting the face-to-face answers, whereas
there's nowhere in here that says that we're not supposed to question mm-hmm. God. We're supposed to take what he said in his word, but...
Mm-hmm.
And we are, part of being human is being inquisitive. That's how you learn. You know, that's like why, you know, if you don't know the stories of Noah, you want to say, go read the Bible. Don't you know the story about?
Do you ever... And along those lines, and this is just me thinking, does God ever get tired of people asking why? Does he use that as an opportunity, let's say, to help you understand, and then you share it and it helps with other people?
He's a parent. He's like a parent. I mean, we all been there. How many times do you want to tell your child, don't ask me one more time? One more, I don't know.
That's
right. So see, the way they learn is through that. So as Christians, that's it. I mean, y'all be there. That's not mean that you do. You know, I done heard of that. Don't ask me no more.
I'm sure.
That's all they do. Can you just go ask somebody else?
Why can't I do this?
Why?
But we never did that growing up, did we?
No.
But as a
Oh, that was good. That's why
would you say that? Well, the joke is I've never had a spanking, so.
Yeah. That's what's wrong with, and it's true.
No.
Ask his mother.
Yeah.
He's never had a spanking.
That's what they say.
Is that true?
No. No. But I've had to go outside and get the stick off the tree and bring it back in. And
they can't tell that story.
No,
they don't know.
And they take about 5 miles in the ice and snow to get home.
Mm-hmm. It's dangerous, man.
It is, that's true.
Mama used to make me go out there and get a switch. I did off of a peach tree. And
yeah. You get the littlest one out there. Mm-hmm.
And you had to try to pick them little things off of it.
Because they wouldn't break.
Like,
I know.
And now if
you went to school and you had a strike on your leg.
Oh, they called me a car. That's just bad for the child.
I know.
Yes, I don't understand. But the Bible tells you what? Spare the rod. What is it?
Spare the rod and spoil the child. Mm-hmm. But as the two angels traveled and they got to Sodom, you know, Abraham hadn't bargained with God, but when they got there, they really couldn't find anybody righteous besides Lot and his family. But what's interesting to me is even in the early days like this, we live in a society today that everything is okay. Homosexuality is okay. You know, everybody has rights. But Sodom was the same way. They were living in the same circumstances, doing the same things that go on today. And I thought it was interesting that when the two angels appeared and they went to Lot, that the group or the men and whoever in Sodom saw them, they knew that they were not part of their group, let's say. And they wanted to know who they were. And they came to Lot. Lot took them in his home, but they came to Lot's home. And really and truly, and the writer says and scripture tell you, they really wanted to attack these men. Physically, verbally. But I also thought it was interesting that let's read in like Genesis 19 verses 12 through 16. It's the two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Son-in-laws, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his son-in-laws thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. I see a lot of things going on here that somewhat interesting. Lot had daughters who were engaged, and it says you have son-in-laws. Now, in the biblical days, and I compare it to today's times, then if I had a daughter and she was engaged or betrothed to a male, at that point they were considered man and wife, even though the marriage and the marriage bonds had not been consummated. So I question, were they living together under the same roof, or were they still in separate homes? But you bring it forward to today. Do we see that happening today? Do we see where people are not going through the ritual of marriage, they're just living together? Now, am I supposed to stand here and judge and say that's wrong? Can I go back to the days of Abraham and the Lot and here and say, well, if it was okay then why do I condemn it today?
You know, they talked years ago, like housing was so different. You know, they had wings and all that. So, I mean, could they per se be living with them, but not in the area of them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it says he went out, so they undoubtedly were not in his house.
Yeah.
To go.
Yeah.
But I, this writer, and then this, and maybe the words, I'm taking it out of the context. If in a situation like that, if something happened and the marriage was not going to work or not going to happen, a divorce had to take place. Well, why would you have to divorce if you were not legally bonded together? Get married.
That they were married.
That considered it to be a marriage right then. Mm-hmm.
See, this goes back to see these questions. These are things that are not, we don't fully understand, but they're here for us to learn from.
And relatives married relatives back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But do we see through all this that? I mean, is Abraham seeing that God's sovereignty is in control all the time?
Do you find it ironic that the son-in-law's left, just like Sarah left too?
Well, I don't know.
This is where...
If you were in that situation, if somebody came in today and told us this section of Holland Avenue is fixing to be destroyed, you need to leave.
You went back in and tell me about one time. I'm not brave, so but I know where you're coming from. I mean, but there are people that are saying, you know, that's not going
to... It's not going to happen to me.
That's right, it's not going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we... And that is... kind of like go back to Sarah. She never thought that she would ever get to be a mother. Ever, you know?
But she did.
Yes.
And I thought about this when just now reading it, when it says the son-in-law thought he was joking. Well, when Lot and the wife and the daughters kind of hesitated, the angels grabbed them and took them, but I guess the son-in-law...
Yes, so it makes you wonder, what did they think? I mean, then what did
they were kind of hesitant, yeah. But... The men grabbed them
mm-hmm.
and led them on out of the city.
So did they follow?
The son-in-laws must not have been with them in the house.
That's right. You see? And so, or did they look up and realize they were gone? Did they go too?
Don't know. This writer, it just, like verse 14 where it says, but at the end of the verse, it said his son-in-laws thought he was joking. Now, it doesn't say what they did, but I guess we can take that they ignored his plea. But even Lot was hesitant to leave. And do you find that interesting? Do we ever have circumstances in our lives that change is going to take place? Or... You just, let's say, working, you think you're tired of working in the same profession you're in and you want to make a change, or something you've been accustomed to all your life is not the same as it was before. How do you react? Do you just say, take it away from me, go out, I don't want to deal with it, I'm comfortable in my settings, I'm comfortable in my situation, I don't want to make any changes at all? Or do we present ourselves like Lot? Do we hesitate?
I don't you think one of the hardest, we've all dealt with this, we can all relate to this. One of the hardest changes in our life is when we have to deal with a grief.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole lives change with a grief, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a death, like a divorce. a job loss. So we've all, in our own ways, dealt with a grief, and that is a change. That is a devastating change, because there are so many things that we were so comfortable with before we had to deal with that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And we've all dealt with it in different ways. So, and you know, we're, I'm honest, I'm not real crazy about change. I don't like them. I kind of like my little routine.
I think the older we get,
you want to shop at the same place and go to the same drugstore. You know, we all are kind of that way. So any kind of change sometimes makes, even a little change, but a big change, like a grief, that, I mean, that, and there's people that can't handle those kind of changes. There are just some people that shut down.
But like Lot, and then even like situations today, I mean, I'll compare it this way. Do you just get so familiar with your surroundings, and so, like I said, so comfortable, you don't want to leave it, no matter how bad it is around you. But you take in life, there comes times when health issues force people to make decisions that they don't want to make. They maybe have to put a loved one in a nursing home, or the person who needs the help and the assistance doesn't want it. And even though it would be better for them in the long run, they put up resistance, and it then takes a toll on the family members who are trying to care for that person. But if we turn all this back into Sodom and Gomorrah, does, and I use this lightly, but does sin still hold an attraction for us in life? And you can describe sin in a lot of different ways. But even though the attraction is there, and you might give into it, does that mean God loves you less? He never stops loving us. Because salvation, how do we obtain salvation? It's given.
It's our gift.
Right. Because I'll read, I didn't mark it, let me find it here. And we're Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, where it tells us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Because it says, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from your citizenship in Israel and foreigners, to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." It's not telling us we can go out and live our lives the way we want to live them, away from God. We should strive to live our lives according to His works, because, like it said in Ephesians, have you ever been presented with a situation where maybe you had an opportunity to witness to someone who was a non-believer, or talk with someone about their faith and their beliefs, and you stepped away from it? But is because the word works come back in. It doesn't matter. We think if we're busy, we do a lot, we're good in God's sight, but does he place situations in front of us to carry on his work?
Well, he knows I'm a big reader, and it is the book, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, and Mitch Alcon wrote this, and it's about this person, and he goes through, and then he passes five people during the day, and some of them are just like this, you know, and then when you get to heaven, the five people he sees, and it makes the impact the person has made on their lives. So I believe that there are things that do happen. People are placed in their lives, as Paige would tell us, for a season. And the season might be a long season or a little bitty season. But that people do come through your lives from that. And hopefully you make a strong impact on their lives as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this, you never have to even talk about being a Christian. It's just the way you are to people. You know, you never have to tell them. Couldn't take out the big banner, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to treat you. It's just everyday treat, how you just treat people every day and cross them, you know, cross people's paths. Because there are some people you speak to and you never see again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like the speaker the other night at the Save a Line Family mm-hmm. said that his mother did not know any Christians except the postman.
The postman, that's right.
And mm-hmm. the postman every day would ring their bell in the apartment building, ring the bell so they'd know their mail was bad. And if they came down to get their mail, he would take it out of the mailbox and give it to them and say, God bless you. And she said that was the only Christian she really knew.
And that when she got ready, she wanted to give her baby away.
And that's who she
and she gave it to the postman.
Because she knew.
That was the only
one.
It
was him. Uh-huh.
But look how God prepared that. He was not able to, but his daughter and
son. That's right. They took him.
And that was just, mm-hmm. I mean, almost just looked like just, that was.
And it's just like everything else in prayer. It just fell into place. It was just supposed to be. That's what it was. It was supposed to be.
And he stood and said he wasn't ashamed to tell that he was aware of it.
No, and it was great. You know, he did get
that. That's it, God. You know, all you have to do is, you never know when you say God bless you to somebody.
How it's going to affect them.
Whether it reflects on them, whether it stays with them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Some
people have that on the phone. This is a question. What does it mean to say God is a just God? Do people question that because they feel like you're treated more fairly than I am?
Well, no, but I know we've had conversations in other classes and we've talked about, I've lived my whole life as a Christian. And then there's somebody that might be on a hospital bed right this minute making a decision to be a Christian. And they're going to receive what I've worked all my life for. They're going to receive it and be gone in a small amount of time. So why have I been a Christian all my life? Why don't I just wait till the last minute? And we've had those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Look what they missed.
Exactly. That's right. All the blessings that, and all the wonderful things that have come through our life as Christians. And it's the last 5 minutes of theirs that they want what we've had all these years.
Mm-hmm. And,
but you do, I mean, people do question that. Or how can the murderer that killed a whole family profess to be a Christian the last 5 minutes of their life and receive eternal life when I've been a Christian a long time? But it's like she said, now look what in being a Christian has made a difference in our lives through our blessings, the people that love us, the mm-hmm. people we've loved us. We love, I mean,
you
may
say God shows no partiality.
Exactly.
That's right.
And he loves it, and the scriptures tell us, we're all love the same.
That's he knows that person's heart that made that last minute decision. He may be making that last minute decision as a show to other people, but God knows his heart, mm-hmm. just like God knows your heart and my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like I tell our girls, and I mean, you know, we love them equally. We love them the same amount, but we love them differently because they're different people. And that's the way God is. He loves us all the same, but we're all different, so He loves us in different ways. He blesses men in one way about their jobs, their physical, being able to work physical jobs, where He blesses women that, I mean, I'm not a woman's liver, so, but, you know, I don't want to be a mechanic. So He blesses us in different ways that we have the ability to do things but still be Christians in our jobs, our abilities.
And sometimes if you're not married, you gotta learn to do everything yourself.
There you go. Oh, that's, I'm on minor, so, you know, my car's broke.
All right, let's stand and have our benediction. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.